Well, it is New Year's Eve, and I guess most of us would be inclined to look at the year ahead with hope and expectation. And that's a good posture, good posture to have. I grew up in Chennai, and I come from a Hindu Brahmin background, and I became a follower of Jesus in 1993. And so I used to go to this really wonderful church in Chennai. And every New Year's Eve, we would have a service just like this. And what would happen year after year is at 11:55 onwards till 12:05, when the year turns, the pastor of the church would read out promises from the Bible, incredible promises that assure us of God's love, His provision, His protection, and that's how we would enter New Year. And I found that very rich and very beautiful. And so this evening, I'm going to start off by looking at a promise. But let me assure you, this is not a promise that you expect. And in all the 10 years that I was there in Chennai and part of this church and many other churches, I never have seen a church read out this as a promise to us. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And the promise is this. This is what Jesus said in John, which is a book in the Bible, New Testament. In this world. Now, I've deliberately left that verse incomplete. I'm going to complete that for us in just a moment. In this world, you will have trouble. I think we've got to be pragmatic about it. Any of us here who hasn't had trouble or difficulty or hardship or suffering in 2016? If you haven't, let me assure you, you will have it in 2017. Right? That's reality. We've got to be pragmatic. And there is a certainty about this promise. Jesus knew that while we are in this world, we will have trouble, but that's incomplete, as he said. Allow me to complete what Jesus said that day when he was praying for his disciples. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I, Jesus said, have overcome the world. And so this evening, as we enter the new year, I want to talk about hope and hardship. You know, I would be naive, and I would assume you to be naive, which I know you're not, if I were to talk only about hope in the new year. I know some of us have gone through very trying, difficult times in 2016. Difficult times. Times when we wondered, God, why did you allow this? Where are you, O Lord? Right? But in the midst of hardship, in the midst of anguish, in the midst of pain and suffering, there is hope. So this evening, I think it's very appropriate for us to talk about hope and hardship. What I'm going to do is, this talk is based completely on a small passage in the Bible from a book called Romans. That's part of the New Testament. New Testament is that part of the Bible which is written after the birth and the life of Jesus. This is written by an amazing follower of Jesus named Paul. Allow me to read that portion up for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 21. The Spirit, and this is referring to God's Holy Spirit, who comes to live in all of us when we come to believe in Christ Jesus, God's Son. The Holy Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. The key words we're going to be looking at this evening, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. Allow me to just pray for us, and then we'll dive right into the passage. Father God, we thank you for your promise that your Holy Spirit will come and live in us when we believe in Jesus. And so this evening we pray, would you help us to fall in love with Jesus? Because when we are in love with you, Lord Jesus, the world is absolutely, it's all okay, Lord. Because in you, we have this great, great hope of a beautiful, amazing, and eternal future. So help us to see Christ Jesus this evening. We worship you. In Jesus' name, we pray. I'm going to really dwell on this verse. I consider that our present sufferings, present hardship, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, in the year 1974, if you're wondering what the picture is, let me just explain to that. In the year 1974, just as the famous Twin Towers of New York were just getting completed, a 24-year-old artist named Philippe Petit, a Frenchman, strung a rope between the two towers and walked across it 8 times with no safety net. He spent in all 45 minutes balancing himself on that perilous cable strung across the towers that were 110 stories or 1,350 feet above the ground. Petit's illegal and unauthorized stunt, bold, daring stunt, was made and released as a Hollywood movie, I think last year or the year before, and it was simply called The Walk. I'd like us to watch a trailer for the movie, and I'm going to connect the passage that we've read to Philippe Petit's walk between the two towers. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In this passage we read from Romans, Paul is talking about two towering realities. The towering reality of present suffering or hardship, or the towering reality of future glory, of our hope of future glory. And just as Philippe Petit walked back and forth on a wire strung across these two towers, every follower of Jesus needs to learn to walk between these two towering realities of hope and hardship. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What I'd like to do for us this evening is to draw out three things from this passage. The first thing I want to look at this evening is the towering reality of hardship. The second thing I want to look at this morning is that this evening, we have our services in the morning, so I'm used to that, is the towering reality of hope. And then I want to close with talking about how, as followers of Jesus, we need to live in both realities. Let's dive right in to look at the towering reality of hardship. The passage that we looked at from Romans chapter 8 talks about hardship and trouble and suffering very vividly. There are three words that I've highlighted from the passage which I am willing to bet that every one of us here are familiar with, intimately familiar with: suffering, frustration, and groaning. I want to talk about these three words for a bit. Let me start off with suffering. A couple of years ago, I was in my car and I was driving towards work. It was a festival day, and you know, everybody on the streets were kind of dressed up beautifully. And I saw this pretty little girl. She would have been 9 or 10. And I still remember, this happened quite a few years ago, she was wearing a very pretty yellow dress. And her face was nicely made up. She had lipstick and she had bangles in all her fingers. And she was riding this bicycle on the road. And I remember as I was driving past her, I saw her coming from the other side of the road. And I saw the smile on her face and the colors she was wearing. And I thought, what a pretty sight. Excuse me. That moment, a motorcycle came out of nowhere and rammed into her. And as it rammed into her, I saw that pretty little face contort with pain. And before she hit the ground on the impact of the motorcycle, I realized there's a phrase that escaped from my mouth. I had said, "Why God?" In that fleeting moment, I had held through that question of mine, God, to be responsible for the suffering of that little child. This is an assumption we all make, that God is somehow responsible for the suffering in the world, and we are not to blame at all. Many of us have this notion that we are innocent sufferers. That is wrong. God is not behind the suffering in the world. It is our sin. As human beings, we have messed up from the very beginning. We are responsible for the suffering in this world. The world doesn't understand me. What have I done to deserve this? If God doesn't want me, if God didn't want me in this relationship, why did He allow me to get so deep into this? We're holding God responsible. Why did God allow me to take this job? I prayed before I took this job, and this is turning out to be a mess. Again, we're holding God responsible. In our worldview on suffering, somewhere in our subconsciousness, we all hold God responsible. And I have to tell myself and I have to tell you, that is wrong. We are not innocent sufferers. Christ is the only truly innocent sufferer. He is the only person, only man to have walked the face of the earth who has never sinned, but was constantly sinned against. That's the first word I wanted to reflect on this evening, suffering. The second word I want to reflect on this evening is the word frustration that we find in the passage. We see that all of creation is groaning with frustration. That's what the verse said. I think we all can understand frustration. Call drops, right? When you're on a call and it drops, poor bandwidth. You're watching a movie or a trailer and the buffering just doesn't get done with. We are all frustrated. Why do we experience frustration? If you really think about it deeply, we experience frustration when we are faced with imperfection. Because deep inside, in every one of our hearts, is a longing for perfection. The second reason we feel frustrated is simply this. When we know there is something better, we can never settle for anything less. Let me just give a very mundane example using the telephone. I still remember when I was still in school, mobile phones did not exist. Yes, I am that old. Mobile phones did not exist, and you only had the landlines. And in the home that I grew up in, we didn't even have a phone. So if I had to go and call, this was in my 10th or 11th or 12th grade, if I had to go and call all the pretty girls in my school, I had to go out of my home and I had to go to a public telephone booth, the PCO, the yellow color thing that was there, and I had to call them and then come back home. You know, so that's the kind of phone that I was used to. And then came along the mobile phone, and I got so used to the mobile phone. It's so easy. You're driving. You can talk wherever. You know, it's not good to talk on the mobile when you're driving. But when you're being driven, you can talk. You can talk anywhere. I would say maybe a million times better than the PCO. But when a call drops, I'm still frustrated. We are still frustrated because we know that a perfect connection does exist. It is possible that technology exists. It's just that we don't have access to it. And so it is in the life of those of us who are followers of Jesus, because we know through our faith in Christ Jesus, we have an invitation and an access and an entry into a perfect world where there's going to be no more sin, no more shame, no more sickness, no more death, no more poverty, no more abuse. It's going to be a beautiful, perfect world. Deep inside, we believe in that. And when we know of a perfection that is to come, imperfection here and now leaves us deeply frustrated. But you know what's the most frustrating of all? Our frustration with ourselves. That's what hurts the most. When we want to be better, when we desire to be better, and we are not able to, that's what frustrates us the most. That's the second word I wanted to reflect on from the passage, frustration. The third word I want to reflect on this evening is groaning. What is groaning? When suffering and frustration becomes unbearable, we groan. We groan when we can no longer bottle it up. We groan when we can no longer hold it down. I guess all of us are familiar with a pressure cooker. And you know, the heat goes up and there's a small thing called as a weight that you put on top of the pressure cooker to hold the pressure inside the cooker. Now, if we drop that pressure cooker on our toe by mistake, I bet we will scream with pain. That's a scream. But when the pressure cooker, when the weight stays on top of the pressure cooker and as the heat rises up, and the pressure is building and building and building, and the pressure from within pushes the weight up, there is a groan that escapes from the pressure cooker. That's groaning, when suffering and frustration become intolerable, unbearable, we groan. In the city, living in a city like Mumbai, we rarely scream. We mostly groan. You can relate to me. The challenges in our workplace, the challenges in our relationships, financial pressures, deep disappointments, being let down by the best of our friends, sometimes being let down by our very own family. We groan. In a city, living in a city like Mumbai, we experience that a lot. So here we are standing on the first towering reality that we are looking at this evening. The towering reality of hardship. The towering reality of suffering. That's the first tower we're looking at this evening. The second tower we're looking at is the towering reality, and that's this passage talks about this, the towering reality of hope. The hope of future glory in Christ Jesus. And we need to cross from the towering reality of hardship onto the towering reality of hope. And before I talk about how we cross between these two towers, walking on the tightrope as Philippe Petit did, allow me to show for us what the towering reality of future hope, the hope of glory in Christ Jesus, looks like. Glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, the hope of future glory, and the towering reality of hope. You know, to really understand this hope, we must look at the three kinds of frustration we all experience and look at a picture when all of these frustrations are gone, and that is the hope of our future glory. We all go through three kinds of frustration. We talked about it a little bit earlier, our frustration with the world, the messiness and the fallenness and the brokenness of the world around us, the frustration with ourselves, and our frustrations with God. This passage talks about how all three kinds of frustrations will one day go away in the light of the future glory that is to come when Christ Jesus comes again to claim us his bride. Verse 21 of the passage that we read talks about how our frustration with the world will go away. All of creation will be liberated from the bondage to decay and death. Creation will be made perfect again. At New City Church, we keep talking about this a lot. We call this version 2.0 of planet Earth. That Christ Jesus has promised he will one day come and build for us a perfect world, a truly utopian world where God will come and make his dwelling among people and we will see God and his son Christ Jesus face to face. And when that happens, and God in the book of Revelation 21 in the Bible, the last two chapters of the Bible, God calls it the new city. And it is in this hope that we have together planting this church. And that's why this church is called New City Church. This church looks to the hope that we have, that we all have in Christ Jesus, of a perfect city, of a glorious city where there is no more sin, no more sickness. Second, frustration with ourselves. Not this particular passage that we read, but just a few verses in the same chapter talks about how one day we will all be confirmed to the image and the likeness of Jesus. This passage is promising us that because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we will be made perfect. We will be made glorious like Jesus in every way. The third is our frustration with God. As I was saying earlier, at some deep subconscious level, we hold God responsible for the suffering in this world. This is wrong. Let's admit it. We who are wicked sinners hold God responsible for the consequences of our sin. If we were to be honest with ourselves, there can be only one reason we experience frustration with God, and it is simply this. Frustration with God is the opposite, is the sinful opposite of genuine repentance. The sinful opposite of genuine repentance. But yet God in his mercy, in his compassion, because of our faith in Christ Jesus, forgives us even this. And he continues to pursue us. He continues to woo us. And he transforms us minute by minute, day by day, into the image and the likeness of his son, Jesus. You know, I really want to help us reflect on this for just a minute. You know, when we think of what Jesus did for us, one part of it is Jesus was punished on the cross for our sins. That God, a holy God, who demanded that sins be punished, but still he loves us. So rather than punish us for our sins, God sends his son, Christ Jesus, to bear the punishment for our sins. And that's why Christ Jesus died on the cross in our place. We can get that. That's okay. But as if that is not enough. It's not just that. That's just one part of what happened on the cross. The second part of what happened on the cross is not only were our sins taken away and Christ punished in our place, but the second thing that happened on the cross was that the perfect life, the credit, the brownie points, the applause for the perfect sinless life that Christ Jesus did was given to us. It is only in this exchange that the full story of what Jesus did for us on the cross is complete. Imagine God loving us so much that not only does he take away our sin, but he gives us the perfect track record of Christ Jesus. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. To use a very heavy word, but a beautiful word, the righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us. It means that when God looks at us, he looks at us only through Christ Jesus. And so we have this hope that one day all our frustration will go away. And in Christ Jesus, we will enjoy a beautiful and a perfect fellowship with God. Those are the two towering realities that we're looking at this evening. The towering reality of hardship and the towering reality of hope. We have these two towers standing before us. And like Philippe Petit, the tightrope walker who walked between the twin towers in 1974, every one of us have to embrace these two realities of hope and hardship. And we need to learn, as good followers of Jesus, to walk the high wire between these two towers. Friends, God has not allowed to stand in only one of these towers. We are not allowed to stand only on the tower of hardship, as many of us are prone to do, cribbing about our problems in life. God is not allowing us to stand only on the tower of hardship, ignoring the hope of future glory we have in Christ Jesus. Similarly, we are also not allowed to stand only on the towering reality of the hope of future glory, ignoring and not responding and being oblivious to the pain and the poverty and the brokenness and the suffering of this world. We cannot stand only on any one of those towers, but God is calling us as followers of Jesus to walk the high wire between these two towers. Our place is not on either of these towers. Our place is to live in the tension between those two towers. Our place is to live holding the tension between the towering reality of hardship and the towering reality of hope in tension together. Philippe Petit walked between these two towers 8 times, perched on that rope strung 110 stories high. He spent 45 minutes on that high wire. But we are called to spend the rest of our lives on this high wire between reality, the towering reality of hardship, and the towering reality of hope. But how? How is this possible? How can I live in this high tension all the days of my life? How can I embrace both these twin realities? How on earth can anyone manage to stay in this spiritual high wire? The answer again is there in the passage that we are looking at today. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 18. The Holy Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Daily enjoying a relationship with Abba Father through his Son Christ Jesus is the only way we can walk this high wire between these two twin realities of hope and hardship. Without a daily, deep, and meaningful relationship with Jesus, it is impossible to live this high wire calling. Roshni was talking about community Bible reading. It's a very simple tool. What we do in community Bible reading is all of us as a church read through the same chapters of the Bible, and we work our way in responding to the chapter that we read personally. That is between us and God. There's a rhythm we follow in our community Bible reading, a rhythm that persistently every day takes us to the heart of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. And then we share what God laid on our hearts with each other, inspiring and encouraging one another to love Jesus more. And this relationship with Abba Father is possible only because of Christ Jesus. From the eternal heights of enjoying the love of the Father, Christ Jesus sacrificially fell to the depths of sin itself, dying on the cross, absorbing upon himself the fullness of God's holy wrath that was due upon us. Jesus fell sacrificially from the heights of eternal holiness to the depths of imputed sin to ensure that we will never, ever fall from this high wire. You know, towards the end of this 45-minute walk between these two towers, Philippe Petit did something remarkable. He found rest. And he just lay down on the high wire, resting. He found fulfillment. He found peace. He found a calmness. He found a composure. Perched 110 stories above ground level. Are we in that place of rest? My prayer for all of us in 2017 is God will bring us to that place of rest, embracing and holding the twin realities of hope and hardship in tension. You know, the world needs to see us. I'm talking to those of us who are followers of Jesus. The world needs to see us resting in this high wire. We can be good witnesses to the beauty and the power in the love of Jesus only when we find, when we find rest in this high wire. You know, as we live our lives in the city, in the light of all the demands the city places on us, on the one hand, if we are only talking hope of future, seeming to be naive to the reality of present suffering, our message of Jesus, which we share to the world, will sound hollow and unrealistic. Our hope for the future cannot be unmindful of the suffering of the present. On the other hand, if we are crumbling under the weight of hardship, if we are breaking down, if we are falling apart, giving away to grumbling and behaving as if we have no hope for tomorrow, if you're crumbling under the weight of hardship in our lives, the message of hope that we speak, the hope in Jesus that we speak with our mouths, will not resonate with how we live our life. And our message of Jesus will sound shallow. As we continue to learn to walk between these two towers, and as we keep calling out Abba Father through Christ Jesus, His Son, God will slowly but surely bring us to a place of rest. Rest even in this high wire between these two towers. This place of resting in the Father's love is the most beautiful place in our relationship with Him. It is only in this place of rest that we learn to hope, learn to hold hope and hardship together. A quiet, deep, and great trust in God. It is only in this place that we do not lose sight of present hardship in the light of the hope we have of future glory. I want to just close with just one thought. We have enjoyed Jesus in 2016 as a community. And if you asked me one word that would describe what we've experienced in 2016 together as a community, it's the word of enjoying Jesus and being transformed by Him. But as we look ahead into 2017, I think God is calling us to a greater calling. God is calling us to grow from only enjoying Jesus to start inviting others to enjoying Jesus. I believe God is calling us to invite our friends, our colleagues, to lead them gently and humbly and respectfully, to gently lead them into experiencing the love of Jesus. Now, if we are to be able to do that, our friends, our families, our colleagues, our neighbors, they need to see us hold these two towering realities in tension, and they need to see us resting in this high wire between hope and hardship. Believing, Lord, that you will You are hearing our prayers made in Christ Jesus. We believe, Lord, that in you we have hope. We know that we have this peace. We can be at peace in you. We will have trouble in this world, but we can take heart because, Lord Jesus, you have overcome the world and your victory is imputed unto us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for every one of us, Lord. Would you bless us abundantly, Lord, this new year? Would you bless us in every area, Lord? Would you bless us physically in our health? Would you bless us emotionally, Lord, in all of our relationships? Would you bless the work of our hands? Would you bless our careers, Lord? Would you bless us financially? Would you bless us spiritually most of all? Would you bless us in our walk with you that we will draw closer to you, Lord? And through all this blessing, we pray that we would be a blessing to others individually and as your church in the city. Thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.